That's okay. No. That I had that tickles. No, don't. That's okay. No, thank you. I told you that wasn't. That's not gonna work. It's not gonna work here. Oh, ow, my coccyx. Is that how you pronounce it? The tailbone, the coccyx? I think so. Ouch! Ouch. Fell right off the stool. Well, there's a good reason for that. Hi, folks. Welcome to the... I don't even know if I can call it the diner anymore. Well, it is the diner. It still looks like it. Doesn't feel like it. Certainly doesn't smell like it. But it is. And here I am. Me being James Lilacs, sitting at my... Oh, my accustomed place at the long boomerang for Mica. Well, counter. Yeah, it's a counter, but it's doing double duty as something else here. Explain in a moment. And we're out on Old Highway 23, about 18 and a half minutes from wherever you... Ouch! happen to be right now. To bring you up to speed here, if you've been away for a while... Hold on a second. Let me just check the menu board, see what's... See what the daily specials are, shall we? Let's see. Half a hamburger, $40. But if I want to have the hamburger in a private booth, it's $120. The new owners, having failed to turn the diner into a casino that would make them any money, have turned it into a strip club. I think that explains why the diner hamburgers are now $40 for half of one, and you spend an awful lot of money to have one in private. And there are lasses, shall we say, who are walking about offering lap dances to customers, and that's what one of them just tried to offer to me. Unfortunately, they haven't retrofit the diner to be a strip club. I'm sitting here on a stool. You know how hard it is to give somebody a lap dance on a diner stool? And what's more, I fell right over. I mean, I fell right back on my coccyx. And that was before... Well, it's awful. I mean, first of all, they're wearing heels, of course. And precious little else. And they're very, very, very high heels. Very, very high heels. And in order to give lap dances to the customers who are sitting on the stools, and Lord knows there aren't many of them. Most of the regulars have fled. I don't know where they went. I fear for them. I miss them. And the guys that we got in here are not exactly what I would call your usual diner patron crowd. And unsavory sorts. With bored, blank faces. And wearing, you know, caps that have the names of feed dealers on them. So the dancers, who are not dancing, walk around with these little stools. These little, step things, you know, two or three steps on them. And then they put her down, and then they climb up on the stool and try to get on the guys to give them a lap dance on the stools. It's hard for them to saunter in a sexy fashion while they're handing a three-step stool. That's just it. They try nicely, and they sort of hold it up like it's the sexiest thing in the world. Oh, look, I've brought a stool over to you that I may facilitate the process of getting up onto your stool. Isn't this just all spontaneous and adult and consensual? Well, they're also dancing on the counter here. Right in front of me, as a matter of fact. Up and down the counter. So, it's... You gotta eat fast. I guess that's it. When the waitress puts your meal down, you've got a limited window of opportunity there for you to actually... You can take it off the counter, and put it in your lap and eat it there. I have noticed this, that if you do have a hamburger, a $40 hamburger sitting in your lap, you're generally left unmolested because they're not going to give you a lap dance while you actually have a hamburger in your lap. I don't know if it's some unwritten code, or what, but it's just the way it is. It's kind of like the universal symbol around here for. No lap dance now, thank you. And come to think of it, I should probably just always have a hamburger in my lap while I'm here. It will save me an awful lot of trouble. It's an expensive hamburger, though. I wonder if I could, you know, get a hamburger at home, cut it in half, bring it in waxed paper, and then ask for just a plate. Well, there's a plate charge. If you just want a plate, that's $10. And then it might be worth it. Put the plate here and put the hamburger there and just go about my daily business, so to speak. Because if you don't take your hamburger off the counter, it's going to have a spike heel in it. Or worse. Sometimes they do this thing where they get down, and I don't mean in the funky sense, and then it's just... It's ruined. It's just ruined. I mean, you don't even want to touch the pickles, and those things are damn briny. It's one of those foods, really, that you can't... you don't have to really worry about contamination with a pickle. There's just something about the taste of a pickle tells you that anything that lands on it is pretty much killed. Killed graveyard dead by that old pickle brining tasty substance, salt vinegar thing that it is. Anyway. So there's the situation. Probably knew this was going to happen because if you were with us the last time, the diner had attempted to... Well, the new owners are trying to make money off the joint. They're still sort of losing money on it, so they turned it into a casino. Upstairs and downstairs, slot machines everywhere, roulette, baccarat, everything downstairs. Somebody broke the bank, busted it right in half, and they lost all of their money and were taken over by their silent investors, who appear to be the outfit, the organization, you know, the Casa Nostra. No. Cosa Nostra. Casa Nostra would be this house of ours. I don't think you could strike fear into people by telling them you'd contracted with a hitman from this house of ours. This thing of ours. Cosa Nostra means this thing of ours, I do believe. Which is a rather vague term. It could be applied to almost anything. I could use the term to apply to the Tupperware that my wife and I got for our bridal shower. Her bridal shower. Here, this Tupperware. This thing of ours. The one with a burpable lid. Tupperware doesn't have burpable lids anymore, I don't think. I don't even think they have played up the burpability of the lids for many, many years. That was the great innovation, you know. That, besides the fact that it gave bored housewives a chance to get drunk in the afternoon and have a hen party and sell each other pastel-colored pieces of plastic into which they could place leftovers, was the burpability of the lid. You would press down on it, and it would... somehow that was vacuum-sealing it by expelling a cubic pint of air. Cubic pint. Good Lord. It's been a long day. I'm sorry. I'm just distracted here. There's just so much of the fleshly sort parading up and down here. It's hard to keep your mind on your work. And this isn't even work, so imagine how much trouble I'm having keeping my mind on this. Anyway, the outfit has turned the place into a strip joint. And I see no end to this, although experience has taught me that whatever happens one week generally doesn't the next and is forgotten, papered over 2 or 3 weeks later. I mean, who would have believed, for example, a year or so ago that we'd be worried about a giant 9-foot Terminator Pillsbury robot from the future standing outside motionless, wondering what sort of mischievousness was going to emanate from that large statue. And now he's just a part of the family. Although, I gotta tell you, they decorate the statue depending on... Well, we've been decorating the statue for Halloween, for Christmas he was Santa Claus. When you've got a giant, inert Pillsbury robot statue out there on a plinth, you do something with it. You make it a local attraction. And hence, you know, he was Santa Claus. He was come the Valentine's Day, they had him painted cherub pink and they gave him little wings. Rather ghastly, actually, rather frightening. You don't expect cherubs to be that substantial. And now that he's advertising a strip joint, they sort of given him a sex change. And he's wearing a bra. He's wearing a black bra and black lace panties and fishnet stockings. And I gotta tell you, the Pillsbury Doughboy, you realize when you see him in a bra and fishnet stockings and panties, you realize the Doughboy's been naked all of your life. You've never really seen him with a stitch on until he's wearing a bra. And he's got the same smile on his face as though... Finally, he can be honest about something, but I don't know if there's some mechanism in his robot brain that is deeply protesting the latest indignity it has not yet spun to life. Well,
no, I've got a hamburger coming. Hamburger is coming right away. Thank you.
Guess that's my new euphemism for don't crawl up on my lap. I have a hamburger coming. Well, I fear to see what's on the jukebox. Why even bother to play? You can't even hear it over the constant thudding music that's going on here. Oh, I'll describe the dancers in a while, in a bit. I'll describe the dances. Don't worry. This horrible moment in human history has to be recorded for posterity's sake. Let's take a look here at the jukebox, shall we? And hope that it isn't Night Train and all the rest of those sassy, take your clothes off, fling your tassels about stuff. We're not, and trust me, we're not talking sort of semi-innocent, big grin in the face, whoop-de-woo, round and round they go, Betty Page kind of stuff. We're talking outskirts of New Jersey town known primarily for a tire plant kind of strip joint, which really pains me. Just absolutely pains me. Here is song B. One. Smokey. It's Marvin Berry. Hey, this is Night Train. This is the classic burlesque strip joint music. You know, at least in those days, the strippers had to strip. I mean, they actually wore something and took the items off one at a time, the process of which was unbearably alluring to the repressed audiences of the 50s. Anyway, you know, here today, the strippers aren't really wearing very much. They, of course, have a certain area covered for modesty's sake, and since this is a diner themed strip club, they're wearing parsley in that part. They're garnished. With parsley, yeah. Some of them do have pasties in their pickle slices. Another use for the pickles I spoke of earlier. All right, well, I don't really want to listen to Night Train. Let's see what else we have here. Let us take ourselves now to Rockola Jukebox Selection D1.
All aboard for Night Train!
Well, it is James Brown.
Miami, Florida!
It's one of those songs.
Atlanta, Georgia!
Cumunga.
Raleigh, North Carolina.
Why not? North Dakota.
Hey.
Boom, Montana. Schenectady. What's James Brown doing here in this? Besides the splits. James Brown, paging James Brown. Brown, the microphone. Crack a window. I think Mr. Brown's checked out. Oh, there he is. Well, I always felt bad for James Brown in a way. I mean, his most famous song was what? I Feel Good. And when you make your musical name with that, you're sort of obligated to get up and proclaim that fact on a nightly basis. You can't really say, "Ow, hip's been giving me trouble." But, you know, in the aggregate, between that and the bursitis, I feel okay, I guess. Doesn't get the crowd to their feet. Like the Rolling Stones, you start out your career with "I Can't Get No Satisfaction." You never think that 35 years later you're going to be an old man prancing around on stage, still insisting that satisfaction has eluded you in the intervening 3.5 decades. Now, let's see what else. Oh, this bass is driving me nuts. God, I swear it's... It just gets to you. I mean, it's not sexy. It's unsexy, this bass, this music. It's just... I feel it loosening swallowed pieces of gum that I had when I was, that I consumed when I was 7 and have been entombed ever since in the interstitial labyrinth of my intestines. All right, let's try something else here. Let's take a look, and I hope it's not Night Train, because if it's Night Train, I'm out of here. Of course, what keeps me from leaving anyway, I really don't know. All right, let's try M1. I know this one. Aha. Yes, the old electrified harpsichord gave it away. I know what that song is. That's from the Odd Couple soundtrack. That's the burlesque club music after Felix. And I mean the real Felix, Jack Lemmon, not that awful Tony Randall wannabe. And no, just because you grew up with it doesn't mean it's good. It just means it's misplaced nostalgia. Sorry. There's only one Odd Couple. Anyway, after he'd failed to kill himself at a hotel, which was an actual hotel, actually, the Hotel Flanders, he went down the street to the Metropole, which was a burlesque lounge at the time. It's still around in strip club form, I think, but it's changed its name. But in the 60s, apparently, it was the place to go, judging from the number of sailors pouring in and out. It was just a horrible place, just garishly lit with a stage about 8 inches wide with the dancers shimmying. I imagine that half of them fell off in the course of the evening and cracked a coccyx, so to speak. And the band was playing away with no particular joy, grinding out the music, and it was loud and it stunk, and just horrible, horrible, horrible stuff. But I recall that, and I don't know why. It was the Metropole Bar. Before my time. Well, I'm resigned to all the music here being strip club music, I guess. Let's see what we have up the pages here. Let's try J1. Put it back on! We'll be right back. got her G-string snapped and took out that man's eye. Great tune there. Let's see what it says here. It says it's called Take It Off. Guest by the Gentiles. Lyrics by Cole Porter. Interesting. Well, a fellow has to slum, pay the rent somehow. Well, I think this would be as good a time as any to take a break. I have to leave my plate and my hamburger on the stool here, lest anybody take my spot. And they best not take my plate or my hamburger, either. The only protection I have against these doxies leaping up on me again. In an abstract sense, purely, mind you, of course, I wouldn't mind, but they're not... They're just not exactly... How do I put this? Grade A doxies. There's just a whiff... There's a whiff of the pox about them. That's all I can say. Anyway, wish me luck. Hope I can make it to the lab and back without spending $25 on something. Here would be a word from our sponsors. If we had them.
Men, nothing takes it off like Noxzema medicated shave. Take it off. Take it all off. Nothing takes it off like Noxzema medicated shave.
The closer you shave, the more you need Noxzema. Noxzema medicated comfort shave.
That's the real thing right there. That's the music they bring out when it's time for Kate Kazungas and her dancing fans. You know, I don't think this is going to work. I don't think the diner is going to remain a strip joint for very long. The place is mostly empty. Most of the dancers are over in the corner cooling their heels. A large Freon-powered machine that helps them do that. It's sort of like those. It looks like a retrofitted bowling ball dispenser, so it's sort of uncomfortable for them to put their foot in it, but the whole atmosphere here is just dank. It's surprisingly unsexy. I mean, you really have to be drunk and desperate and in the mood for some half-hearted mercenary commercially based frottage in order to enjoy this. That's not where I am in my life right now, and I imagine a lot of other people are not either. So I just can't see it working. Well, I wonder if there's some way, though, that they could possibly make it work. I'm not trying to give them ideas or something like that, but high class, for example. No, high class doesn't work. High class just means the drinks are very expensive, and the bouncers wear tuxedos with clip-on bow ties. That's all high class means. You don't want to go any farther down in the demographic, or such a thing is really possible unless you were to dig a large pit and lower the diner into it. I think that would be the only way you could get lower than what it is right now. Maybe a nostalgia-themed burlesque house. Well, they don't take it off. They just take a little bit off. And they're not dancing to throbbing techno all the time. Or even the 50s and 60s grindhouse music. Hold on a second. I know this song. Let me check the jukebox here. There it is. I think I have the answer. This is the song. This is the song right here. Don't go burlesque. Don't go modern strip club. Don't go high class. Go back to the 40s. Make this a strip joint polka style.
a burlesque theater where the gang loves to go to see Queenie, the cutie of the burlesque show. And the thrill of the evening is when out Queenie skips and the band plays the polka while she strips.
Take it off! Take it off!
Cries a voice from the rear.
Take it off! Take it off!
Soon that's all you can hear.
But she's always a lady, even in pantomime. So she stops, and always just in time.
As wholesome as the flowers in May, and she hopes to retire to the farm someday. But you can't buy a farm until you're up in the chips. So the band plays the polka while she strips.
Take it off, take it off.
All the customers shout,
down in front, down in front.
While the band beats it out,
so to speak.
But she's always a lady, even in pantomime. So she stops. And always just in time.
Hot. It's a fast-moving exit just in case something rips, and the band plays the polka while I strips.
Jump around, take it in, it's the best in the West.
Take it off, take it off.
You can yell with the rest.
Stick around when it's over. I'm a peach when I'm dressed, but I stop and always just in time.
Church bells will chime
in strip polka time. Hey!
It worked. It worked. The diner's completely empty. Everybody's fled, the customers and the dancers. Huh. I guess the very concept of a strip polka was terrifying. They might worry that they'd have to use an accordion. And if you're bare-chested and playing an accordion, you got to be careful with that thing. You get something caught in the folds and, man, that would hurt. Well, I guess that will do it for now. Whether or not I've put a fatal stake in the heart of the strip club version of the diner, I have no idea. The owners might try something next week. You will just have to drop by again and see what it is, won't we? Thanks for dropping by, folks. I'm James Lilacs, and this has been The Diner for Friday, March 7th, 2008. I'll see you down the road.